Hello and welcome in to CHGO White Sox Podcast. Welcome into our studios in Studio A in our West Loop Studios. That guy over there is the CHGO beat reporter for the Chicago White Sox. His name is Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. Got his article out today, latest article on the Chicago White Sox. You can go and check that out at allchgo.com. Myself, my name is Herb Lawrence. Ecknerwall23, I have no articles out at allchgo.com. You can just still go there and check it out. Ecknerwall23 on the Twitter sphere. Usually there's a guy to my right. His name is Sean Anderson. He's on assignment for today. But today is our second year birthday slash anniversary. So give it up for us. Yay! Look at all the people we got here watching us today. It's thumbs up for us all day long. And especially today. Call your friends, call your sons, call your daughters, and tell them to
neighbors,
come.
Don't forget the neighbors.
And your neighbors. Tell them to come and subscribe with us. We're only 168 people away from hitting our 50,000 subscriber mark as a YouTube channel. That would be monumental to give to us as a birthday gift on our second birthday. So call all your people right now and make sure that they come and subscribe to the CHGO Sports channel. So today for our second anniversary show, we will be going over what we have learned in these first 2 years, our favorite moments from these first 2 years working with CHGO. We'll also discuss whether spring training results and poor performance actually do matter, because the White Sox, while you know these games don't count, they played 12 games. Not a lot of them have been good.
They won today.
Oh, yes, they did. They had a good outing from both Michael Soroka and Chris Flexen. And then also we have our Mailbag Monday from our CHGO diehard member. So if you want to become a diehard member and ask us a question on our Mondays, go to allchgo.com and become a diehard member today. But I want to thank our people who did already become diehard members from today. Carrie, Wayne, Chris, Derek, Kevin, and Jordan, thank you very much for joining us. As you see right there on the screen, we are so close to hitting our goal. Call your friends, call your daughters, and make sure that they subscribe to us. But first, Vinny.
Yes.
We've been here for 2 years. I remember we started March 4th, 2022.
We did. I think I was wearing these exact same pants.
Yeah, wow. I'm 100% sure I was wearing these exact same pants, because I got like three pants. It's been gone fast, even though those seasons dragged on forever. What is one of your favorite moments, if not multiple favorite moments, that you've had as a CHGO White Sox reporter?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking about the White Sox specifically, I don't know if favorite is exactly the word because of the way the last two seasons have gone. I think it has been wildly interesting, but I don't think many of the folks watching at home want me to retrace the last 2 years of White Sox baseball. But no, I mean, obviously the favorite moments have been the ones where we've been sitting right here, right? And you know, yucking it up and having good times. When we went out to Oak Lawn for opening day last year, that was pretty fantastic. Oh, yes. To get to hang out with everybody. And I'll go ahead and shout out Baloney with his $10 super chat right now for reminding me my favorite running bit of our 2 years here, and that is our obviously joint love of the Fleetwood Mac song Tusk. And by that, I mean Sean's love and our dislike of it. But for that to be kind of our unofficial theme song that we can't play for copyright reasons has been pretty fantastic. So every time that is, I'm reminded of that, it always brings a smile to my face.
I've listened to that song multiple times. Terrible. And that album, it's just a terrible album. So, yeah, thank you very much, Baloney. Check those folks out at Chicago Sports Bums. I think they had a show tonight at 8 o'clock. But my favorite moment, yes, I tell you what. I've been playing in that media softball league for probably like the last 15-plus years. Never won. I was with the Score, with the CHGO the last couple years. Finally, beat the Score in Odyssey this year and brought home the championship. That's my favorite moment of being with CHGO. But of course, the thing I think people know me outside of CHGO for the most is falling on my face outside in this pavement out here when I'm trying to beat.
Again, not something I would use the word favorite for. I mean, was it funny? Yes, but yes. Only because you weren't grievously injured.
Yes. I mean, even if I was injured, that would be even better. But it sounds like I should have been injured, but a few scrapes. My hamstring was injured. That was the bit. That's why I fell out.
So I thought it was hilarious in the moment. You got right back up, so I'm like, good, he's not hurt, it's hilarious. And then we sat and watched the game. If you remember, we did that right before a game started. We went out there, and then they played. I think it was Colorado, right? And we sat over there and watched the game, and you were doing poorly.
Yes.
You were sitting over there like, oh, this is bad. My leg hurts. And I'm like, oh, this has just gone from an America's Funniest Home Video to we might have to haul Herb downstairs and get him over to the hospital.
Yeah, Herb's going to die. And there was a thing, as you see, Yasmani Grandal's bobblehead right in front of us. Yasmani Grandal was a good sport, even though I was trying to punk him by trying to beat him and saying that he was slow at running. He sent a knee brace over to help me out in my future endeavors in running. I'll never be running again, but I appreciate the gift. I appreciate his sense of humor and playing along with us there, because he said that most of the people watched it in the clubhouse, and I got so many texts from people, like from Jason Benetti. He's like, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen, Herb. I'm glad that you've went with it. It's like, what else would I do? Like, somebody else would have found it, and if I wouldn't have leaned into the bit, I think people would have been, you know, jabbing me with it forever. But it's a fun thing, and if I can do it again, I will, but not on that damn concrete. That kind of hurt at the moment, and it was the thing that really hurt was my hamstring was just throbbing the whole damn time we're watching that game, and I think the White Sox lost too, so it was
that was the
either.
I believe that was the Kendall Graveman
blew it game.
I liken what happened to Yasmani Grandal playing the role of Bugs Bunny and you playing the role of Elmer Fudd. Like, you were behind him with the shotgun, and you're like, I'm gonna get you wascally wabbit, and then you pulled the trigger, and like, you got the big kaboom right in your face.
The gun was pointed back
exactly
at my hamstring.
And Yaz is just sitting there munching on a carrot going, hey, you need a knee brace there, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the meat of this show, which is, for me, it's more of a negative angle because the White Sox have been playing poorly up until today, I want to get into the positives. This weekend, you saw the first outing from multiple people. Dylan Cease pitched on Saturday, 2 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 1K. Fetty pitched yesterday, also Garrett Crochet. You got 2 innings pitched from Fetty, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And Garrett Crochet dominated again, 2 innings pitched with 3 Ks. And then today you got Michael Soroka with a home run gave up. That was only earned run in the 2 innings that he pitched. And then in relief, you get Chris Flexen, 2 innings pitched, a hit, a walk, and a strikeout. While the White Sox have been kind of not hitting well, as they've been, you know, playing their starters for like only 3-4 innings as spring training has gone, the starters come out for their first rotation through the rotation. They've looked pretty decent this weekend. It's good to see, especially in Arizona, that they're not posting big numbers. Dylan Cease is getting right to the batters and striking them out. And Garrett Crochet, what a revelation. I know it's just spring training, but he made hitters like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout look silly.
Not hitters, the hitters,
yes.
Right? Those are the two hitters. Listen, I mean, I think as we're going to talk about later when we get to the offense, and, you know, I'm probably going to bring up the fact that everybody calm down, it's games that don't count. You gotta have it, you gotta make sure that you do it both ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you see positive results from pitchers, let's say, you've got to say the same thing. Hey guys, it's just spring training. And not only that, the first spring training outing for a starting pitcher where they're only going to go an inning or two, I mean, there's a long way for these guys to get to even the kind of pitching that they're doing once the regular season begins. You might see these guys coming out and being like, you know what, I want to work on something today. I'm going to try to do this to the 3 guys that I get to face kind of thing. It's not always the greatest indicator of anything, good or bad. But what I will say is we should be following Garrett Crochet closely because he is in – I mean, he's fighting for a spot on the team, whether it ends up being in the rotation or in the bullpen or whatever. He's playing, you know, to try to win a job, and he's doing it well. And we are sitting here waiting to learn, is he going to be able to do this job? And so this is what we've got to go on, because the last however many years that he's been a Major League Baseball player, he's pitched out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
He wants to be a starter now, so we got to follow along and see what he's doing as a starter. And I think that the things that we're seeing from him, they're small doses, right? So, I mean, you can very much point to it and say, well, that's what he would have done as a reliever in the regular season. You don't know exactly how that's going to translate to 5 innings to 6 innings, but the more he can impress, the more he's going to make it a tough decision for the White Sox when it comes to what to do with this guy at the end of spring training. I think as you see him have success and feel good having success, you can start to get in your mind a little bit more, okay, he's over the physical hurdle here, or he's certainly what he dealt with last year with the Tommy John and then the shoulder thing that he had later in the year. You can point to that and say, all right, he's maybe done with that a little bit, and he's moving on to being the kind of pitcher that we thought he'd be as a reliever. Now it's how's the body responding between these outings? So far, so good, it looks like, right? And so there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot to hear from a guy like Ethan Katz or Brian Bannister about what they're seeing on the days between, not necessarily in the moment when he's on the mound. But I turned in my early spring roster projection to Kevin the other day. I think I can see him plugging it into a newsletter right now. So if you're a diehard, you're going to get that in your inbox tomorrow morning. And I put on there Michael Soroka as the fifth starter, but man, Garrett Crochet looking pretty good. And again, there's a lot that goes with Garrett Crochet. He has not thrown a lot of innings.
Yeah.
If he makes the opening day rotation, does he have to get shut down at some point because you have no idea what he's going to do when he's logging all these innings? Or does he go to the minor leagues to try to build it up and come back later in the summer? I have no idea. I don't think anybody that isn't in that room with the White Sox right now has an idea, but the way he's throwing and the way that he is continuing to feel good as he moves along in the spring. I mean, remember, they've been there since Valentine's Day, right?
Yep.
It is encouraging from the standpoint of, can he do this? It's encouraging, and it points to the answer being maybe.
And I think that if I were making the decision, I would actually be giving Garrett Crochet the leg up over other players like Michael Soroka because of his handedness and his ceiling. The ceiling for Garrett Crochet, if he can be a every day or every fifth day starter, is much higher than many players in the major leagues, not just the White Sox, because you see the filth on the fastball and the slider. If you're just a two-pitch pitcher, usually you'll go to the bullpen, but if you're just that good and that filthy where people can't even see you, like Ohtani didn't offer at the ball that was middle because it was just past him already. And the same thing with Mike Trout. He was just so good. And yes, it is spring training, so you take these results with a grain of salt, but those people, like Garrett Crochet, sees those people across the diamond from them. It's like, those are the top of the league people. I'm competing now, and I'm competing against my own people too to be part of the starting rotation. Because, like you said, I don't know if he doesn't make the rotation, does he get sent back to Charlotte to be a starter? Does he get sent back to the bullpen to be a reliever? I think you try, especially this year where the White Sox are doing a lot of rebuilding, you try to do what's best for the player and your team overall. And if that is having Garrett Crochet be a starter wherever you think is best, either major leagues or the minor leagues, you do that. And I think the worst thing for the White Sox is to put Garrett Crochet and limit him into the bullpen. Because, yes, I think ultimately he will be a great reliever if he was to choose that path. But I think to leave the starter thing on the shelf just because he didn't make it out of spring training would not be good for the White Sox, because that's what he wants to do. And I think the highest part of Garrett Crochet's game is being a starter, if he can do that.
Well, and you bring up, too, the state that this team is in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
They don't need him to be a successful starter or a successful reliever this year.
No.
And so they can take their time and try to figure out, hey, can this guy become a starter? Go ahead and do the experiment over the course of the season. Why not? Because the upside of that is he can be a starter in your rotation for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk so much about the guys they've got down in the minor leagues right now, a lot of the guys that they acquired at the trade deadline last year, Jake Eater, Nick Nastrini, you know, Kai Bush, you know, those kind of guys. And even a guy like Jared Schuster, who they got in the Aaron Bummer trade. These are young guys who might become good starting pitchers in the major leagues. They uh-huh. Certainly they hope they can be and stuff like that. But you don't know, right? They're prospects. That's what happens with prospects. Garrett Crochet is a first-round draft pick.
Yes.
Garrett Crochet, you know, is a talented major league pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's you want to find out if he can beat some of those guys you got down there, because then you just got more depth.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you can go into 2025 mm-hmm. with the idea of, boy, Michael Kopech looks good. Boy, Garrett Crochet looks good. Boy, Nick Nastrini looks good. You still got Eric Fetty. all of a sudden, you know, the idea of the potential of that rotation gets even more positive if Garrett Crochet is allowed to achieve the goal. He also has to achieve it, but the first step is allowing him to achieve it, right?
Yeah. After the break, we will talk about some negative things that have happened in camp so far. But before that, I'm remiss. It is our second birthday, so we have a new collection out. The CHGO Chicago collection. You see all the beautiful shirts there. The CHGO, like CTA type of shirt. The shirt that Vinny has on right now. I have to have him turn around and show the back of it because it's great. Chicago style pizza. He's going to go to the front of the camera and show you off. Look at that shirt. Mercy. Just an awesome shirt. Cream colored shirt right there. I've already ordered the Second City shirt, the gray Second City shirt with the second being crossed out. So go to CHGO Locker Room right now, or CHGO Locker right now, and get yourself a Chicago Collection shirt to celebrate our second birthday today. And hey, if you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, that green CHGO Chicago flag shirt is perfect when you go out to all the bars.
Or you can wear it in whatever month it is late in the season when the White Sox do halfway to St. Patrick's Day.
It's multiversal. My guy Stephen Nicholas had the shirt on earlier, looking good. Man, that's a model.
Looking green.
He should model the shirt right now on air, Stephen. No? Okay, never mind. Stephen wanted to model it.
Stephen Nicholas, famous Irishman.
Yes. As I've always said. But before we get to go into different things, make sure we're subscribing. Have you called your family yet? No? Stop. Pause right now. Go and call your family and make them subscribe. We're at 49,836 people subscribed. We need to get to 50,000 before the end of this show. So call some people right now, please. But Vinny will tell you about the great folks at the Jacob Light and Kugel Brewing Company.
Herb, when I say the phrase Wisconsin innovation, what comes to mind?
Beer?
Well, sure. That's what I was going to build to.
But indoor slides?
I was going to say indoor water parks. I was going to say cheese curds. I was going to say lakeside music festivals, perhaps. But also,
happy days?
Yeah. The Fonz.
Hey.
Yeah, obviously. Sticking your thumbs up, pointing them back at yourself, and saying, "Hey, that's with some Wisconsin innovation." But so, too, is the beer that you can purchase and then drink over at Line and Kugel's. They make a fantastic roster of beers. And, you know, obviously, you can get what you're drinking there, the Lakeside Cherry. You can drink one of the favorites that we've got in the fridge, the Sunset Wheat. Go over to wherever you can find a bottle of beer and find a Honey Vice because it is quite delicious. But we're all waiting for summer.
Yeah, we are.
Because what can you do in the summer?
You can drink some delicious summer
shandy. You can drink that summer shandy. Mm. It's shandy season. I'm not going to lie, I had some shandy just yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just went to your Jewels. There was all stocked up.
I don't know if it was from this season or last season, but it was still delicious.
It still worked out.
And so that's what everybody's waiting for. That's what they've got over at Line and Kugel's, that good stuff. It's great for you take a nice cooler full of summer shandy, you go sit by the lake. You take a nice cooler full of summer shandy, you go out in the parking lot at Guaranteed Rate Field before the ball game, and you have a couple before going in there during your tailgate festivities. What's another fun summertime activity you can do? Go in a canoe.
Yeah.
Get in a canoe and fit your cooler of summer shandy in there and just paddle it away and drink it away as well. So here's the part that I have to read. Flavor life's simple moments with Line and Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. Why, you can have it delivered. How about that? That's LEINIE.com/CHGO or run on down to the Jewels and pick up Line and Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Line and Kugel's, flavor the moment, celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls, yes.
They got a lot of my money in Chippewa Falls.
They got all my money in Chippewa Falls.
At Circa, they have tight money line splits and low hold model. Games will strive to be a minus 110 split on Circa Sports menu, unlike other sports books, but might use a minus 115 or minus 120 splits. Circa keeps as little money as possible on the large market bets. so you can get more money when you do win. Circa also doesn't limit their players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who limit their winning players. We encourage bettors to download and explore all sporting bet apps available so you can know that Circa has the best odds for you. You can compare the lines from each of those books and know that Circa has got you with the best odds. There are real people behind Circa Sports customer service. Resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other books who use chat box, which are just annoying to talk to. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook account in Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Download the Circa Sports app today at circasports.com/Illinois-app. To sign up today, also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, tailgates. If you or somebody you know has a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, text GAMB to 833-234, or visit areyoureallywinning.com. Now, Vinny, I know somebody said, oh, NSYNC, we won a game. Yes, we make these titles before the actual game gets done. So, yes, they played well today. I think it was their 12th game. They got their fourth win of the spring. The White Sox win today, I think, 5-2 with Michael Soroka, as I said before, starting that game. Chris Flexen eventually getting into the game. Today was the first game where really you saw the starting lineup sans Kevin Pillar in the lineup. So, and as you say, Kevin Pillar is going to be played plenty if he does make this team. So you see offense kind of come alive today, and this team, you know, playing as a unit for the first time in spring. Would you, I know this game wasn't on TV, but what do you take away from the team just playing with each other for the first time? And stop it, people, stop. I know I said playing with each other, so I know you're out there, you bad mind people, jerks.
The importance of getting all those guys out there at the same time, I think, mainly comes on the defensive side, right? Because Listen, this was a team that was intent on improving itself defensively over the offseason. And you see a lot of the guys who are in there now, certainly who are in that lineup today. Nicky Lopez, Paul DeJong, Martin Maldonado behind the plate. And yes, Kevin Pillar was the starter in right field today. He's probably the favorite to be the fourth outfielder at the moment. He's got a pretty strong defensive reputation too. Oh, yeah. So to get all those guys in there and see, hey, what that defense is going to look like. Because we talk about spring training games not necessarily mattering from a stat production standpoint, but you better believe they are going out there trying to get outs, right? Yeah. And they're playing defense the way that they're supposed to be playing defense during the regular season. So in that regard, it's probably pretty important that those guys get as many reps together as they can. Certainly Lopez and DeJong as a double play combination have already been in a bunch of games together, and now they continue to be so with the rest of their teammates. From an offensive standpoint, I think it's more just informative. We basically already knew and guessed what the lineup would be, and Pedro Grifol ran it out there today, just what we thought it would be. So it's less so, oh, it's important for Aloy to know that he's batting ahead of Andrew Vaughn. I don't think it's that important for them, but it's interesting for us to see, oh, that's the way Pedro's going to line him up once the games start counting. And I think you saw that today, exactly what that lineup is going to look like.
And today, it's good to have those people in the actual lineup and, as you said, to acquiesce to each other and how each other moves and have some chemistry. But throughout spring, like, I know we don't care about the results of these games. I mean, it's some better to win than lose.
Some people care about them.
But it's how they're losing this year that's kind of alarming 12 games in. Coming into today's game, the White Sox are last in batting average, last in on-base percentage, second to last in on-base plus slugging. 99 strikeouts they had coming into today's game were the fifth worst in Major League Baseball, fourth worst ERA, fourth for the bottom in batting average against, and seventh worst in air, but that is inflated by a 4A game. Do you think that Pedro Grifol, Chris Getz, and all the rest of the coaches really care about the actual stats and how the team is playing in spring training, or they're just saying, all right, this is getting your wind up, this is getting your chemistry with your players up, and the numbers, I don't give a damn, because even if you're hitting 500 during the spring, like I think Nicky Lopez is hitting close to 450, we know he's not going to be that. So do you think they, in their heart of hearts, care that the White Sox are so low in these categories?
I know they don't care about the statistics.
Okay.
I think when it comes to how they are playing, I think they do care. And when you see some games like we saw early on when I was still out in Arizona with a lot of errors, and particularly if you'll remember the whole brouhaha with Martin Maldonado not running hard to first base, if you want to call it a brouhaha, I don't know if it really qualifies as that, but that moment, Pedro was fired up about that. And so, I mean, he wants to see these guys trying. He wants to see these guys' effort. He wants to see them play the brand of baseball that they are going to play during the regular season. I do not think at all he cares if Nicky Lopez's batting average in exhibition games is through the roof or through the floor. I don't think he cares at all. But I do think that he probably likes what he's seeing from Nicky in terms of the quality at bats, in terms of the approach he's taking. Those are the things that the decision makers are looking for in terms of roster battles. When it's guys that are already assured to be on the roster, they want to see him play the way that they want to see them play. And probably you'll hear Pedro Grifol make a lot of positive comments about that. If we do want to talk about the stats that you brought up, I think that the pitching ones probably don't matter as much for the reasons I was talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
Starters aren't out there very long. When they are out there, they might not even be trying to do what they're trying to do during the regular season. They might be working on pitches, that kind of other thing. You've seen a lot of guys standing on the mound without names on the back of their jerseys, right? I mean, this is a completely different way of putting pitchers out there than you're going to see during the regular season. The hitting, no, I don't think they care about the stats, but what I would say is, isn't this what we kind of expected from this team? I mean, again, I'm not ready to write them off and say nobody can improve, nobody's going to be any good, but what I will say is we spent the winter watching Chris Getz go get a brand new half of a lineup, and all of those pickups were almost entirely based on what those guys could do defensively. He said on numerous occasions during the offseason, whether it was when I was out in Arizona for the GM meetings or when we were down in Nashville for the winter meetings, Chris Getz said multiple times, they're hoping to see big improvement from the guys that are still here. They want to see Eloy get a lot better. They want to see Moncada do a lot better than he did last year. They want to see Benintendi have a much better year, Vaughn have a much better year, right? Those guys, certainly the offense depends on what they do. Mm-hmm. But is anybody waiting around saying, oh, yeah, you got it. You bring in Marcus Thames. Chris Getz is confident in you. They're healthy finally. Guaranteed they're going to be much better. This was one of the least productive offenses in baseball last year.
It was.
And while I don't think that any of those guys that I just mentioned maybe will have as poor of a season as they did last year, I think we've been watching them long enough to know that we would be foolish to predict that they would turn it around in a way that would send this offense through the roof. And then on top of it, you've got a bunch of guys who are here for their defense who have had very limited offensive success in recent years. So I don't think if I told you 3 weeks ago that, hey, this offense that you don't really think is going to be that good is not going to be doing that well in spring training games, I don't think you would have been surprised. And if I say this might be what the offense looks like by the end of April, I don't think you're going to be very surprised, right? No. I mean,
quick games, though.
Right now, can't wait. Right now, we are looking at a lineup that we are not expecting much from.
No.
And regardless of spring training, because the stats, who cares? If their performance is on par with what we expected from them, I don't think we should be surprised. And I think that they're certainly going to try to exceed those expectations. They're going to try to be a much better lineup with what they've got. But the focus was what the focus was during the offseason. And so the defense better be good. That's where the critical eye should lie, because that's what they spent their resources acquiring this offseason. It was at times at the expense of improving the offense. And so something like this, I don't really see as that shocking, even though you shouldn't pay attention to spring stats. But if these stats were replicated come April and May,
wouldn't be it.
You're going to be surprised?
No, not at all. But yeah, I knew, as you said, I knew that this would be a defense first team, and more than likely Nicky Lopez and the Paul DeYoungs of the world, Martin Maldonados, won't be going off on offensively. And most of those guys are at the bottom of the lineup anyway. Like I said, you got to depend on the people you got in the lineup that are uber talented. You know, today you got Marcus Thames pretty much saying the same thing we've been saying for years. If you get Yoan Moncada healthy, that is in top 10 third baseman. He's going to hit. He's going to glove it. He's going to do some things that are special out in the field. Now, the injuries are all part of his and Eloy's whole story. Last year, Luis Robert beat that finally, and you saw the season you got from Luis Robert. Now, if you can get that same type of breakthrough for those two guys, or Eloy and Yoan Moncada, then you're cooking with gas. And then finally get the Andrew Vaughn that was picked third overall to be the guy that they expect him to be. Because even though I think they're not disappointed with his numbers, they would expect more, even though they put him through the ringer with, you know, him coming up in 2001 or 2021 with playing left and right field, not his natural position, and really no seasoning down in the minor leagues because of COVID and et cetera, things that happened to him. So I think the breakout year for Andrew Vaughn might be also on the docket. If you get all four of those guys just cooking, the rest of the guys, the Nicky Lopez's of the world, the Martin Maldonado's and the Paul DeYoung's, don't have to do what they oversized projections that they have. They just have to be the players that they've been defensively. And if you are picking up the ball a little bit more, and if the pitching staff's a little bit better than it was last year, then you're probably marking down the runs against, and maybe you're scoring a little bit more runs scored, so that evens out. I think they were like negative like 200 on the runs differential last year, so that coming down to a level that's in the hundreds, maybe in the single double digits, much better for the White Sox. And I think their pitching staff might be, or at least their starters, might be better than they were last year. So there are some things on the horizon for the White Sox that they might be just bad offensively from the people that they picked up this year. All the weight will be put on all the people who are coming back from last year. Two guys who could be on contract years, and Yoan Moncada and Eloy Jimenez coming this last year looking for another contract, if it's from the White Sox or from another team. After the break, it's Mailbag Monday. We'll get into what our diehard members have wanted to ask us, and none of them our baseball questions, which we opened it up. It's our second birthday. We can do what we damn want to, so we don't need to follow baseball rules. We're just answering questions about whatever our diehard people want to talk about. And remember, stop what you're doing again. Call your friends, people who haven't subscribed. If you're listening right now or watching, some guy who thought I was Big Dave and thought he was a Peck, I get it. I get it. Mustache, bigger black guy.
This is the bizarro CHGO bull show over here.
Yeah, and then
I don't have a hat to throw.
Yeah, Big Dave's wears I don't have the great hair. I don't have the shorts on with the showing the gams like Big Dave is.
We're the low rent CHGO Bulls. Poor man's CHGO Bulls.
You know what
here.
The Bulls need to do? Shoot better. I mean, hit the ball in the net.
You know what the Bulls need to do? Give the ball to Keith Bogans more.
So tell those people to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're 159 people away from hitting 50,000 people subscribing to our YouTube channel at CHGO Sports. So go there now. And while you're there, go to allchgo.com, become a diehard member so you can ask us a question in our Mailbag Monday. And also, as Sarah points it on the screen, the Chicago Collection is out today with all those beautiful shirts and hoodies that you can have right damn now. So go to allchgo.com or CHGO Locker and get yourself a shirt today.
Can you believe what Rajon Rondo did to Kirk Heinrich?
Oh, my God.
Can you tell the last time that I watched the Bulls on a regular basis?
Man, that Cornell David, he needs to play more, much more. For the old people, Cornell David. That was after the Bulls disbanded in like '98, and Cornell David came down in the 2000s.
What do we?
Jalen Rose.
What are our thoughts on the great first round pick, Keith Booth?
Oh God, damn it! Stop picking Maryland Bigman. They're never good. What makes CD1 price cleaners unique? Their low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD1 price cleaners. Simple, transparent service. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type. Plus, they have upcharges. You may pay a different price each time you visit. At CD1 price cleaners, we charge one low price for any garment. Yep, even sports jerseys. The same low price. And at CD1 Price Cleaners, they have your order ready the same day or the next day. Other cleaners take up to 2 to 4 days to have your clean garments ready. Also, CD1 Price Cleaners send you a text when your order is ready for pickup. They have a wide variety of service: dry cleaning, wash and fold laundry, blankets and comforters, tailoring alterations, leather cleaning, area rugs, and so much more. Visit chgo.cd1, which spelled out CDONE.com. The link is in the description. Once there, you can pick out from any in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery coupons. And delivery coupon options. Once again, visit chgo.cdone.com. Our link is in the description. Let's go and talk about the mailbag. Sarah, you got those questions up? Just pick one up, and we will talk about it right now.
Mail person Sarah is going to deliver the mail to us today.
Let's do Sock Mom. If you could choose any profession other than what you're currently doing, what would it be?
Well, I initially got in sports to play sports, and as soon as I got to high school, they started throwing curveballs, and I was like, damn, I got to do something else. So I would have been a baseball player if they would just throw fastballs. But other than that, I don't know. Like, I would want a career that has some type of stability and growth, some, like, you know, computers are a thing now, so... And they've been forever. I would want to do something like on computers, like computer science or...
The profession that you'd choose is computers?
Yes. Yes, computers.
Door-to-door computer salesman?
Hey, guys, you knew this new computer thing. You guys got to get you their PC at your house.
You could be the guy who creates whatever the modern-day equivalent of Math Blasters is.
I don't even know what that is.
We had Math Blasters in school where we'd go to the computer lab for like half an hour and play a game that teaches you math.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was like Book It. You got to just read a bunch of math problems, and then you get some pizza afterwards. No. Do you remember Book It?
No.
Oh, you just read books, and then once you read books, they give you a free personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut.
We had Ozzy's Reading Club.
Ozzy from the White Sox?
No, the Kane County Cougars mascot. Oh, okay. And so you'd read a bunch of books, and then you'd go to a Cougars game at the end of the year.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
For free? On Ozzy?
Yeah.
All right, so
you'd go to one of them like day games where nobody was there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like because you could see that, you know, computers and technology just keep on going forward. If you get into that and glom onto that, not only are you going to get paid a lot, you're still going to have a job when you're 60 and probably work from home. I mean, this job is pretty damn sweet. You know, talking about the White Sox, even though they're bad, it's great. But Vinny, your job that you would do if you weren't doing this?
Well, I definitely have two answers like you. The answer where I would have, you know, require talent that I don't have in order to have, that would be professional guitar player.
You don't want to sing?
Oh, I'd do both.
Okay.
Yeah. But you'd have to play the guitar. That's too cool. Mm. It's too cool to not.
It is.
Yeah.
You could be like those lead singers that grab the guitar and the easy chord
like when
song.
You see Mick Jagger play just like kind of strumming and it's like he's not the guitar, he's not even the second guitar player, but he'll grab it for fun. But yeah, then I think, I don't know, the answer, I mean, I'm kind of doing what I wanted to do, so I don't know, I'd probably, I mean, like being a teacher would be kind of fun, I think.
Yeah.
My dad's a teacher, I think that would be fun for me also. But, you know, I do this instead.
Sarah, you got an answer?
I am lucky enough to where I'm actually in the industry or at least doing kind of the role that I've always wanted to do as long as I'm in like TV, media, producing. But I have always had an interest that I said if I wasn't going to go into this, I've always wanted to go into like working for the DEA and...
For the DEA?
So, drug enforcement?
Yeah. People? Yeah, like
Sarah's
I was
a narc, friend.
No, but and that's the funny thing too because I'd just be one of those people that would actually like... be in that industry for the good of it and not like I would honestly want to stop like drug trafficking and like all the stuff that comes with like the violence and the gangs and stuff.
Wow, this got real.
Yeah, it did. Sarah's like, I hate violence.
But no, I chose sports media instead.
Justin says that I would be a gym teacher. I took a class in high school that was like you as a senior get to like be the TA for the like freshman gym class.
Okay.
And they let you kind of teach some of it at sometimes. And so I bring this up because one of our projects was we had to invent a new sport.
Okay.
And then make all the little kids play it. Right. So what I did was on a basketball court.
Okay.
Give everybody a lacrosse stick and you play with a tennis ball.
All right.
You can't go inside the 3-point line. Okay, and you have to shoot it at the basketball hoop. So if you hit in the square, it's 1 point.
Yeah.
And if you get it into the hoop, it's three. But there's also a goalie who gets to be in the three inside the 3-point line. He has a lacrosse stick duct taped to a tennis racket.
It's long.
Yeah. And so he can, or she can, reach up and whack it away.
Did anybody ever whack it away and then hit in the other goalpost? And the other,
I don't think those kids were coordinated enough at the time, but that was fun. I always remember that game because
you made that game up.
I made it up.
Jeez, yeah. Look at how creative you are.
That would have been. I want to play it now.
Yeah, me too.
That lacrosse on a basketball court. Come on,
it sounds fun as hell. Did they get to hit each other?
No, you can't. No.
Okay.
They're like wearing like t-shirts and shorts. You can't. I mean, you whack each other.
Not like hit each other. I'm like like physical. Beat the body up. Like box out.
I stood up there in front of all the freshmen in high school. And I'm like, and part of the rules say that you can side check each other and hip check each other out of bounds.
It's like, yeah, that person talking smack in the fourth period. Time to get him right here in the seventh period, Jim. And Kevin Malloy brings up a good point. As I said, Narc, how do we know that Sarah's not a DEA person right now?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Moonlighting as a sports producer right now. So, Sarah, I do no drugs. None. At all.
I don't know.
Even though we talk about Sunnyside back in the day.
Well, that's none. Legal. I don't know what DEA agent Sarah's going to do about it. This is the state of Illinois.
Yeah, you're out. You just got to get Indianans, you know, when they're Puritan ways, not doing drugs and such, stay in that terrible state. Sorry, Indiana people. Your guys are great. Not you guys. I'm talking about the rest of them, like Greg Braggs.
Yeah, those are the good ones.
All the you guys who are listening and watching, you Indianans, man, my favorite Indianans. So let's go to Ian Robo, our guy from across the pond, jolly old England.
He has a simple question. In Chicago, is there a part of the city you would bulldoze to the ground, and why, excluding Wrigley Field?
That area, I'm going to bulldoze. If we can't bulldoze Wrigley Field, I'm bulldozing all those bars, the douches in the Diamond Club, and the place across the street with the big roof. I got it. You guys love country and bad things. Great. Only place I'm keeping alive, Nisei, down there, because it's a bar that is of that in that area, but it's not of that area.
Well, it used to be.
Oh, did it?
It used to be, Wrigleyville used to be like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it got taken over with the people all, you know, decked out. People who will be having Steven's green t-shirt in a couple of weeks. I'm not going down Clark Street that day. But yes,
or any day.
I'm just going to bulldoze the hell out of place. Except for, and Sunnyside is also there. I'm keeping Sunnyside open. But all the rest of that trash around there, man, just bring it back to the old days, like, and take Tom Ricketts' money away from him, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you on that, but I'll come up with a different answer. I'll tell you this. It doesn't require a bulldozer. You could probably just yank it out of the ground with, you know, a few strong folks. That stoplight in the middle of Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, my God, at Chicago?
That thing needs to go.
Yes.
I understand why it's there. It's for ambulances because the hospital is there, but if an ambulance is coming, you're supposed to stop anyway.
Thank you.
So get that stoplight out of the way. It serves to do nothing but cause traffic jams. Also, I'm bulldozing every chain restaurant that has come here from New York. We have Portillo's. We don't need Shake Shack.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I like Shake Shack.
Shake Shack is overrated.
Really expensive.
Shake Shack is overrated.
The fries are delicious.
The fries are okay.
It's like $15, though. It's tough. I would live without Shake Shack. It, as you said, Portillo's, out of all those people that get named like the Whataburgers and the In-N-Outs and Shake Shack.
Portillo's is better than all of them.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
By far.
Yes.
Charbroiled burgers. I get a charbroiled burger every time I go to Portillo's, except for this last time where I was feeling like an Italian beef. So I got that dipped with hot and sweet. Delicious.
There you go.
That's perfect. Perfect breakfast and lunch.
Perfect breakfast.
I mean, we did it.
Italian beef for breakfast.
We had it at 11 o'clock, and I couldn't eat it all, so I had the rest for lunch. But, yes, I would kill that light because every time I go home from here, I ride on Lakeshore Drive going back north to my house. And that first lane, even though it's supposed to be those people taking off and getting out of your way from that first lane, you know, it's always some overhang. Mm-hmm. I'm like, these are the worst people in the world. They could have got off at Navy Pier
but here's the thing. Done
the same thing they're going to do now.
But here's the thing. It's not their fault. It's that light's fault.
It is. Like, you could have got off a literal half hour, a half block before and saved yourself at least 5 minutes there. And also not irritate the people all behind you because they're all in that first lane. And if they're all in the first lane, of course, it's going to mess up the second lane and the third and fourth lane there. And so, yes, 100% agree. I like, used to do it, like, close it off at 10 o'clock, but now just keep it open forever. It's like, ugh. Like, yeah, if you need an emergency vehicle, go down to Sabo Lakeshore Drive, cool. But you people who are just going to, you know, the merchant, the Miracle Mile or Magnificent Mile, go another way. Because you're causing me traffic. And if you're causing me traffic, that's a problem. And our last thing, Sarah, we have one more from one of our favorite.
AJ, what are Vinny's opinion on the last few years of Marvel movies / shows? I really dug Miss Marvel. I never saw Miss Marvel.
I'm really pissed that AJ didn't ask me.
He didn't.
I was going to say, he didn't ask me either, and I love Marvel.
How much time we got? We got another hour or two?
Oh, we got 15 minutes until we hit the hour, but you can...
No, I'm not going to bore folks too much. I will say this, for the most part, the stuff after Endgame I have found to be mostly disappointing. I really liked the first two movies that came out afterward, Black Widow and Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi, perhaps. Loved them both. I thought the third Guardians movie was terrific. And I think some of the movies are getting better with time separated, even though they're not necessarily as good as the older the ones before in the first group. The TV shows I've not been a fan for the most part.
Really?
I like a lot of the elements of them, but I feel like they're too long. They just need to be a movie. Just
what
make
are the
them
TV
a movie.
Shows? So the Mandalorian,
WandaVision.
Well, that's Star Wars.
Star Wars, that's same thing. To me, that's all the same thing. What's the one
what about
with
Loki?
You didn't like Loki?
Again, good. A lot of good parts to it, but I don't think they need to be 8-episode things that, you know, take forever. Just condense it all into a movie and it'd be way better. Because I like a lot of the characters and I like the actors and everything, but the storytelling is kind of all over the place. And the endings of a lot of those shows have been very disappointing. So we'll see. I'm going to keep watching them.
WandaVision?
I just watched the newest movie, The Marvels.
Oh, yeah.
It was fine.
What do you think about, and the thing I know about, just because the internet's been talking about it, them bringing back Robert Downey Jr., even though, spoiler alert, he died in Endgame.
It's true, he did.
Well, not him.
Not the actor. They didn't kill the actor.
Iron Man died.
I don't think that's going to happen based on a lot of the stuff that I've read, but I'm no reporter on that subject. But I don't think that'll happen, but I do think they're just trying to throw a lot of, hey, come, we're going to put this person in the movie, and that'll make you come see it kind of thing. Like, maybe just wait... start writing better stories, and that probably would get people in there. That'd be my thought.
Yeah, I never really got into Marvel or anything. You know me. I haven't watched Star Wars still. I don't know why. I'm just stubborn.
Like any of it?
None of them.
Oh, my God.
I get the gist of it.
You saw Black Panther.
I saw Black Panther, yeah.
That and one's
Endgame
really good.
And the one before Endgame.
Infinity War. And those are like the three best ones.
Yeah, I saw those three. And yeah, I haven't seen Star Wars, Sarah. No, it was when I was a child, everybody was watching it, and I was like, I'm a contrarian by nature. I'm going to go out and do other things than watch great movies. And so, you know, when I was in high school is when all the new movies came out. I forgot what they're all called, but they're like, oh, you should watch these.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
They're not great.
So pretty much I'm 45 and, you know, I'm not changing my ways. I don't think I'll ever watch it. Maybe for a bit.
I also like that it's the easiest thing in the world to do.
To watch a movie. I literally just had to sit down and enjoy.
Like no one's asking you to go down to this to, you know, you have to walk down to the store. No one, you know, it's not Blockbuster. You don't have to get in your car and go anymore. You don't even really have to pay that much money.
Literally, I have Disney.
You
Plus.
Have Disney?
There I have
you go.
Disney Plus at the house. I forget I have Disney Plus and ESPN Plus all the time. And so when I'm looking at ESPN and that article's locked, I'm like, son of a. Oh, yeah, I have that. Thing.
I can read Jeff Passan today.
You should give me your Disney Plus account. I don't have one anymore.
No.
Okay. That's not right, Sarah. A DEA agent like yourself would know that.
Exactly. You're trying to get me caught up.
Hey, entrapment.
The worst thing you could have said was no, so it's okay. Now I know.
Entrapment.
Yeah, you're trying to get me set up with ESPN people. Yeah, and Luke, yes, one time I said this on air at the score. I said, I've seen Spaceballs, so I got Star Wars. Literally, Hub Arkish, who was our football savant insider, called on the outside line and said, Herb, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I am so disappointed in you. And Hub never had really yelled at me, kind of read me the riot act that I said that Spaceballs is the same as Star Wars. I stand by that.
Well, but
even though I've never seen Star
I don't know if
Wars.
This is what you were saying in the moment, if this is what you meant, but like if you meant like you get it, like you get the references, like that makes sense because it's a parody of that.
Yeah.
So in order to understand the jokes, you have to understand what the what they're parodying.
We ain't seen. Oh, that's so great. Oh, that's so great when they got the pick. Oh. You ever seen that, Sarah? Spaceballs?
No, but I know what it is. I know it's like the parody.
It is much better than Star Wars.
That's why I was laughing, because I was like, of course you've seen that, but you've never seen the actual Star Wars.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, ludicrous speed. This classic Mel Brooks stuff. It's just, can't go wrong with Mel Brooks. I didn't see Blazing Saddles until I was like 35, and my guy Brendan McCaffrey showed it to me. I was like, this is the best comedy I've ever seen in my life.
It is.
Like, why was I taking so long to watch this damn movie? It's so great. Man, that's a great movie. You didn't come for here for that. What you did come for is our second birthday. We're celebrating that currently, right now. So go to CHGO Locker and get our new merch. And yes, Jack, Mailman Jack says, this shirt I'm wearing right now and the shirt that Vinny's wearing right now is part of our CHGO Chicago collection just released today for our second birthday. CHGO Locker right now. You can get a hoodie. You get a T-shirt. Get all that stuff. And if you are a diehard member, allchgo.com/diehard, you get 20% off of all merch. So get yourself a new shirt if you are a diehard member. If you're not, become one right now. Hey, KPWA, man. I don't, you know, Star Wars is not my jam. Maybe one of these days.
To be fair, you don't know that it's your jam.
For content purposes, I will sit down and watch 10 movies.
There are 10? Well, there's more than that. Ugh. There are not. Yeah, there are. Ugh. What, 11?
Ugh, too many.
Yeah, there's 11.
All you need are like the OG ones, and then you got to watch Anakin Skywalker, like the three ones.
So if you were me, a person that's never watched, would you watch in chronological order?
No.
Yeah, well, chronological in that they were released.
When they came out.
Yes, right.
I started with the three movies that you learned about, Anakin Skywalker, like Darth Vader, blah, blah, blah.
But those only make sense if you've watched the earlier ones.
But I don't know. I'm a Gen Z. That's what I don't know.
Gen Z, they don't follow any rules.
I watched all the other ones, which I guess, yeah, in a sense does kind of spoil stuff, but like it's fine.
You know, Gen Z is, millennials get the heat that Gen Z should get, because I think everybody thinks that millennials are of Sarah's age. No, millennials are
not anymore.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to be.
Yeah, it used to be. And then, oh, these millennials, disgusting. But yeah, Gen Z, I got some hope for you guys, but you know, also it's a little tough out there for those Gen Zs. I don't know how you guys date out there. Woo, friends, it's tough going out there, Sarah. I hope you got you one, because it's going to be tough out there in these streets. But that is CHGO White Sox for today. I'm going to stop rambling. Sean will be back so he can control the show tomorrow. We can do White Sox talk. I know at the end, he's like, man, you're not talking White Sox.
He's going to come in with a lot of spin rates and a lot of a lot of verves and verves and girlbs and all sorts of fun acronyms.
Making
I'm
up
sure.
words. Yeah. Like, is this a actual baseball stat or a character in Star Wars? We should do that.
Ooh, man. That's good. That's good.
Mark it down, yep. Sarah. Make sure you go call your people right now. We are at 49,844 subscribers. We want to hit this before our birthday is over, midnight tonight. So call your people. I'm calling my people right after this show to make sure that they subscribe to CHGO Sports so we can hit that 50,000 subscribers mark on our birthday and have a great celebration tonight. So for Vinny Duber, you can check out his latest article on allchgo.com.
And I must say, I mentioned it earlier that they got the newsletter coming out tomorrow. Newsletter is going to mention, and we are going to launch something special for baseball fans. Our diehards, in particular, are going to have access to a full database of all White Sox players. that I worked at, that that me and many others worked on. So if you want to flip through every single player, basically, that's in camp right now, not every single, there's 70, that's too many, but many of them, that's coming your way tomorrow. Diehards will have special access to that, so look out for that, and we'll talk about it way more tomorrow, I'm sure.
Follow him at Vinny Duber for all the latest White Sox news and all the great articles that he puts out there, allchgo.com. My name is Herb Lawrence, EcknerWall23 on the Twitter sphere, and our usual guys, Sean Anderson, Sean_W_Anderson, and thank you to Sarah for producing us today. I don't think she has a Twitter, or she doesn't want to put it out there for you guys, so I'm not going to promote her Twitters or her Instagram. So we'll see you tomorrow. Our show starts at 5 o'clock. Sean, myself, and Vinny for CHGO White Sox. We'll see you tomorrow.